Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. It is good to be with you on this beautiful day. Looks like we might get some rain in a few moments, and we certainly hope so. We already had some, but we need more. But it is an absolutely beautiful day here, and I hope that you're having a wonderful day when you watch this, in terms of the weather, but in terms of your life and your circumstances. Hope that you've been looking forward to our time being together. I know I am. These times are a blessing to me. They help me in my walk and relationship with the Lord as I prepare. And I hope as we look at these truths together that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki again for all that they do to make these times possible. But again, our whole point for being here is to meet with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Lord God, yes, the weather. Father, the wonderful blessings that you've given to us, but most of all, oh God, for you. Lord, that you, as the Almighty Sovereign God, want us to know you. Father, in spite of our sinfulness, you've made us salvation possible, and you've brought us to that salvation. And Father, that salvation is a relationship, a restored, reconciled relationship with you. And Father, we're here today, Lord, because you desire to draw us even closer to you, for us to know you. And Father, we want to know you. We want to know how to walk with you. We want to know your ways. Father, speak to us. Open our minds and our hearts, O Lord. Help us to hear your voice, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You know, as we go through our lives, I know every one of us has had episodes, events, seasons, times in our life that could only be described as a pit. Maybe it involved finances, maybe some problem within our family or that our family was facing, maybe some other relationship, maybe it's an occupational situation, whatever the case may be. All of us have had times that can only be described as a pit. We've all had them, and the reality is if we continue living on this earth, we're going to have them again. How do we handle those times? How do we handle it when you and I find ourselves in the pit? Well, this is exactly what we see as we open God's Word today to Psalm 40, and it's a Psalm of David. And I want us to work our way through this Psalm because I want us to follow the train of thought here from beginning to end as it develops. And so as we think about how to handle the pits that we experience in our life, and you may be in one right now, I want us to see what we need to do. As we begin working our way through this psalm, we see that first of all, first thing we need to do is remember God's past deliverances. If you're in a pit right now or the next time you're in a pit, one of the first things we need to do is to look back and see how God delivered us from a pit or pits in the past. You think about what we see in verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, we don't know the exact episode that David is referring to here. It was obvious it was a very serious problem, a very deep problem, a very deep pit. And yet God had, in fact, pulled David out of it, had set David on solid ground, so to speak. And in fact, God had actually given him joy. You think back of the time, and probably plural, times, that God has pulled you out of a pit. The last time, or several times, or some great significant time in the past. You think back about how God pulled you out of that. And you can think about what David is describing here. We need to remember, we need to look back, we need to have it firmly in our mind as we face the current pit, or whether you're in it today or you face it tomorrow or next week or next month, we need to think back and look back about how God did in fact deliver us, how He brought us out of that pit. But not only do we need to look back at that past deliverance, but notice as well, number two, we need to learn from God's past deliverances. As we think back about how God delivered us out of that, we need to stop and think, okay, what lessons was God wanting to teach me? What is it that I needed to learn? What truth did I need to comprehend, not just with my mind, but in my heart, my life, and in my experience? You think about what David went on to write in verses 4 and 5. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There's none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. David learns from what God has in fact already done. He's learned, you know, it's better to trust in God than the prideful. That is, those who are sure that they have all the answers all the time. It is better to trust in God than those who are willing to compromise in order to get by, to get out of, or to force some type of a solution. It is better to trust God in God alone. David has learned, he said, you know, I can trust God's loving kindness, his power, his graciousness, his goodness, his unlimited love for me. David is learning from the episodes that God allowed him to go through. Probably the class I got benefited the most from in seminary was a class, a workshop taught by Ron Dunn. And really the class, while it was, certainly was a class, was really just a time of being in God's Word. And the whole title of the class was God's Way with His Servants, as we looked to see how God worked with various servants. And while it was certainly was lessons that we learned from them, Dr. Dunn also brought up the point. And the way he expressed it was, learn to listen to your life. He said, you know, if you really analyze your life, you will see certain patterns that God works through in your life. And there are lessons that you can learn from those patterns. We need to learn to listen to our life. We need to learn those lessons. Okay, we look back at that pit or those times, you know, when God delivered us. Okay, what was God trying to teach me? In fact, as I look over the past two or three or four or five pits, was there a consistent lesson there that God was trying to teach me? Maybe I consistently did the same thing wrong that got me in the pit, or maybe God was consistently trying to teach me a particular lesson. We need to, in fact, learn from God's past deliverances. That is what He is, in fact, wanting us to learn about him, his ways, his desire for us. We need to learn from God's past deliverances. But then notice as well, number three, we need to respond to God's deliverances. When we think back on God's past deliverances, when we think about the lessons that God wants to teach us, we need to in fact be faithful in our response to that and apply those lessons. We see this with David. We see it in obedience. Look at verses 6 through 9. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. The picture there is of a bondservant who in his time of servitude was over. Rather than leaving the master who was so good to him and facing the uncertainty of life on his own, he became a bondservant. And the sign of that was to have his ear, an awl pushed through his, drilled through his ear, as a sign that he was now a bondservant, that out of love and devotion to his master, he would serve him. Now, the ultimate fulfillment of this is, in fact, our Lord. In fact, as the writer of Hebrews quotes that passage. And what is interesting is the fact that there it is brought out that it wasn't just an ear that our Lord presented to the Father. It was his whole body. It wasn't just an ear that was pierced. He was pierced on the cross for us out of complete obedience unto the Father, as the one-time payment for our sins. But again, you think about what David is saying here. I have learned through those deliverances that you've done in the past that, oh God, the best thing that I can do is in fact to obey you. That means to handle the situation the way that God would have for us to handle it, to do what God would have for us to do, to not do what God doesn't want us to do, that we should in fact respond in obedience unto our Lord. but not just in obedience, but also in praise. We've already read verse 9, but we'll reread it. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. I've not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I've spoken of your righteousness and your salvation. I've not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. We need to praise God for the wonderful deliverances that he has worked out in our life. Certainly he deserves our praise. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens the faith of others. We need to respond to God's deliverances in a commitment to obedience in our life ongoing from this point. Certainly in terms of future pits that we find ourselves in, but just as a rule of thumb, but also in praise. And so we need to remember God's deliverances. We need to learn from them. We need to respond to them in obedience and praise. And that sets the stage for handling the current pit or the future pit if you're not currently in one. For you see, we see that number four, we trust God for present deliverance. You think about what we see in verses 11 through 17. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so I'm not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. You know, when we remember, when we learn, when we apply, we can trust God now and in the future pits that we experience. You know, it's the same God who delivered us before is the God who can and will deliver us now. Those lessons we learned in the past are the lessons that God wants us to apply now. That response of obedience, that response of praise, is the response that we need even in the midst of the pit now. And you know what we'll experience when we do that? God's deliverance. And in fact, as we start over right where we started again, being able to look back and see God's wonderful deliverance, when we remember, when we learn, when we in fact respond, when we apply that to the present pit, what we experience is God's deliverance, and the cycle starts over, and we see God in an even greater, even more wonderful way. We have a God who we can trust, and you may be going through a pit right now. This might be more than just a Bible study for you, per se. It could be something that you're needing to apply right now because you're in a pit. And if you're not, you probably soon will be. Remember, learn, and respond, and you'll once more experience God again. He is the God who delivers his people from the pit, and we can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, for the reality of who you are. Father, your nearness, your presence. Father, the reality of you working in our lives. Father, thank you for every pit that you have pulled us out of. Father, help us, O God, to look back and remember that it was you who got us out of that pit. Help us to learn, O God, the lessons that you have wanted us to learn from those episodes. Father, help us to respond in a commitment to obedience and to praise. And Father, when we encounter the next pit, if we're in one already, O Lord, may we truly trust you, be able to wait upon you, see you work and move, and start the process over again. Father, thank you that we can trust you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you're having a good day. I hope that you're not in a pit right now. But reality is, sooner or later, we all will be. And I hope that we'll learn and apply this lesson. But I hope that, you know, even if you are in a pit today, that you can look to our Father, that you can trust him, that you can wait upon Him, that you will see Him work and move, and that you'll experience Him in your life today.